heart. And we served a lot of women yesterday, also Friday, and it was a big blessing to them and to all of you. And I think it's just exciting to see the body of believers work together in that. And I know a lot of work went into that. And someone commented, maybe that's why we don't do it too often, because it's a lot of work. Today we're continuing our Ephesians 1 series, and this is an exciting time, and heard a lot of good feedback about this as we continue to do that. We're at the beginning, Mike kicked this off with how we received grace and peace, and then Dean talked about every spiritual blessing. I talked about the third one was being chosen and adopted, and now we're wholly into that family. Mike talked about more grace that we receive, and Dean made it very clear how we're lavished upon, and gave us several examples of that. Today's verse is this. It is what we're calling Ephesians 1. I have like the second half of 8b, and verse 9. And but I wanted to include the whole verse 8, the part that Dean talked about, because it ends there, and really another sentence begins with the section B. So it starts with in, and so it ends as, which he lavished on us. So all these blessings he's lavished upon, and then it begins a new sentence. It says, in all wisdom and insight. And that's what we're going to talk about. So it comes off this lavished verse, which Dean talked about last week in relation to pie engulfed in whipped cream, and Disney World and all these various things. And I knew as soon as he said pie well engulfed in whipped cream, there was a picture I was going to use, and I thought, this is what lavished feels like to me. And there we go. So this is pie and my sons at Thanksgiving time, and you see John is just casually going to put all that whipped cream on that pie. And Eric is going to eat all of that pie. This is apple, and this is pumpkin. This is just Thanksgiving at the Stanagers. So this is pretty lavish. This is what I think about when I think about lavish, and whether taking pie, whether you deserve it or not, that kind of thing. So these are kind of part of the blessings, and this pie idea will come up many times, I'm sure. These are blessings that we're reviewing and are so wonderful, maybe we do not fully comprehend them. They're so precious, and we can't fathom their value. They're so personal that they're beyond our own heart or to understand their impact. But the truth is this, if we will listen, we will see that it's revealed to us. It is revealed to us what the Lord has blessed us with, and that's kind of exciting, and that's what I want to share with you today is, as we continue to talk about how much God has revealed himself in his mystery in Jesus Christ, this little verse is packed with four different ideas that I want to share with you this morning. Basically, this is the verse. In all wisdom and insight, the mystery of his will and his kind intention, which is purposed in him. Let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Lord, we thank you so much for how you bless us with all these things and how you revealed yourself. And I ask you reveal yourself to each one of us this morning. Lord, we're tired. It's a snowy day, and we just had this big conference, and we're kind of wiped out, Lord. But I ask you to recharge us this morning. Pray, Lord, that it's more than just a discussion about some theological idea, that this becomes real in each one of our lives this morning. In your name, amen. All right, so here's our keynote verse today. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. That's our verse today. God does something here. Let's start with just our first section, in all wisdom and insight. God does something here in all wisdom and insight, and I thought, what a strange phrase. We might say of someone, they're pretty wise. Or they have gifted insight. that person has gifts and insight into this problem, or they're very insightful. Maybe it's been said of you, you're insightful, or you're pretty wise. And that's different than wise guy, you know. You are wise. You know, we engineers, we like to take problem in our mind, at least I do, and rotate it and look at it from all angles and see what the best solution is, you know. And we have the best solution because we've looked at it from so many angles. And many people do that with many different things. They have that ability. You know, if you, you know, you have to fix things or repair things like Foster does. He has to look at his heater and he, you know, he lifts it up, flips it around, you know, catches it and puts it in place, you know. And there, that's the right spot for it. But the limitation that we have as humans is our own experience. We have limited time, or we have a limited time that we've lived. We have limited experience. And there's then these three dimensions that we have to deal with, height, width, and depth. And remember we sang about that, you know, to the Lord, those things have no meaning, as Mark shared. It's like a well that has no end. That's his love. Those are those dimensions. He's outside of those dimensions, including the dimension of time. So that's where we're limited. But when it came to the problem of eternal sin, he solved it completely and in all ways, taking into account the time factor, the choice, our choices and emotions and the elements and everything else you could think of. And God then, in his plan, reveals his plan with all wisdom, with all insight that there ever was, ever is, and ever can be. Every nuance, every subtlety, every tear, every little bird that has fallen, and every flower is taken into account. All packaged very nicely so that all the world rejoices. So when you tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that power package of all wisdom and insight stands behind you. Here's a verse that says that we proclaim, for Colossians 1:28, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with, there it is again, all wisdom, not just some wise sayings, all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. When can you ever say anything is complete? Ever. You might say, well, once I put this pie in this giant vat of whipped cream, oh, my life is complete. Yes, but it is beyond that. God's all wisdom and insight plan completes everyone in Christ. That is us. We're completed. That all-powerful and all-knowing and all-wise God did that and revealed that to us. You might say, well, what's God's all-wise and all-insightful will for me? Well, you can read about it, right? He says, this is in Colossians as well, 3:16, let the word of Christ richly, richly dwell within you with all wisdom. There's that phrase again, all of it, all wisdom, every wisdom that could ever wisdom wisdy, right? Teaching, all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. At Breaking of Bread last week, we talked about or shared about how we have about 500 songs in our repertoire. And if you look at, as Hannah is looking at, that list of all the songs that are in project, or not project-wise, in Easy Worship, is there are quite a few songs in there, and not all the songs we do are in there. 500 songs that we have accumulated in our database. Of those songs, there are those from the 70s and 80s that were taken right from Scripture. And they're there in part so we could memorize them. Because at the time, there wasn't much contemporary Christian music out there. I remember when I became a Christian, there was like two artists that I knew about. You know, Amy Grant and Keith Green. And that was maybe, you know, Terry Talbot. Larry Norman, I'm sorry. Four Christian artists, and a few others, and hymns, mostly hymns. We see this, though, this concept of memorizing scripture through song in Awana, right? We teach songs, and other organizations as well do this. The Psalms, and we'll read some today, were written by David, and they are songs. That's actually what they mean. In this verse, we are told to let the word richly dwell within us. So you want to know wisdom and insight about yourself and your relationship with God? Well, read his word and do it. Memorize it and do it. Put it in your heart and do it. That's the command, with all wisdom, because if you want all wisdom, that's where it is. Pray through it. Communicate with him. Talk with him if you really want to know. As a pastor, I hear people say a lot, what does God want me to do? What's wrong with him? What is the great mystery? Well, he already told you. But your all-wise and all-insightful plans are in the way. My insightful, all-insightful, and all-wise plans are in the way. That is only part of the mystery revealed, which is this. You can have an open relationship with the God of the universe. That's the mystery. And that's what Paul discovered. That's what he says later. This is also Ephesians in chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight. So we're going to stop right there. This is a little later in Ephesians, and in the section we're reading, he's laying the foundation for the big kicker he's about to give you. He's about to, in the second half of this chapter 3, he's about ready to reveal what that mystery is to the Ephesians. Now remember, the Ephesians are Gentiles, so they're not of Jewish descent. That's who the letter is to. So if you think about this, this is really to us as well. So he's about to give you what the mystery is in all wisdom and insight. And what is that? What is the mystery of his will? Okay, so stepping back for a second, God said, is all wise and all insightful, but what is the mystery of his will? Does not God make his mystery of his will known to all? Let's see if that's true. Is he reveal his mystery to everyone all the time? Looks like no. So let's look at Matthew. Oh, I have this reference wrong. I apologize. It's actually Matthew 13, not 11. Matthew 13, the big typing was wrong. It's Matthew 13, 10 through 11. Actually, you're going to have to turn there because some of these sections are a little long and I didn't want to put them on the screen. So, excuse me. Matthew 13, verse 10. Starting with verse 10. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. It has not been granted. Jumping to verse 16. But blessed are you, your eyes, because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So prophets and righteous men of the past did not know what you know. The disciples were getting a glimpse of this mystery. Remember, Christ has not performed the sacrifice. He has not gone to the cross yet. It is now being revealed, now to them. It is all being laid out. Jesus says that the prophets and the righteous men wanted to know what you know, and now, as we're going to learn in a little bit, that's what Paul is saying to you. That's what he's saying to the Ephesians, and that's what he's saying to you. What is it that is revealed? What is this mystery? Well, let's jump back to Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 6. I just have up there the kicker section. So, chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 3. That by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, he's talking about chapter 1. by referring to this mystery. When I talk about mystery, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men. So here we have another verse that, again, clearly states that all mystery is not revealed at all time. So, but now it is. Here it comes. So the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, he says, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Who are the Gentiles? Everyone who is not Jewish. That's you and me, unless you're Jewish. Remember, we talked about how we're adopted into this family. We were embraced. A few weeks ago, I talked about being embraced and loved, adopted, and made holy. Now you're lavished upon, like Pi and Walt Disney. We're lavished on in grace, but so much more so. When it's lavished, this is what I think of lavish. When I think of lavish, it's lavish to accept an enemy into your family as your own child. That's lavish. And so we are. We've been accepted. We were enemies, and now we've been accepted. This plan is pretty awesome, I think. We are fellow heirs with his chosen people. All who accept Christ. That is a crazy mystery that's been revealed, but even a child can understand it. That's what's been revealed. That's what was given to us. Here's another verse that talks about that in Romans 11:25. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. He's talking about to the Romans now, another set of Gentiles. I do not want you to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So this is all part of the plan. On April 7th, we're going to have a Jewish woman come here and share how Passover actually reflects this truth revealed. How the Passover reflects Christ and salvation to all the world. So she has accepted that salvation came through her Messiah from her people to the rest of the world. That was the plan all along, and that we're adopted into, and that's what she's going to share about. King David, even this is hundreds of years earlier, before Christ came, wrote about this. This will be written. This is in Psalm 102:18. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. We are the people yet to be created. Do we praise the Lord? Yeah. We were yet to be created and we praise the Lord. Well, I fit this category. Again, David says it. All nations, not some, not just our nation, all nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. All the nations shall do it. We are one of the nations yet to be created and now praise the Lord. That's the mystery revealed. Jesus came to get everybody. Why? Why did he do that? Do this because of his kind intention all along. This is according to, so in all the wisdom and all his insight in looking at all the plan, he brought it all together. Then he reveals his plan. Why? Because of his kind intention. What is his kind intention is in the plan. His kind intention is in the revealing of this plan. His kind intention is in all wisdom and insight. So when we think of kindness, sometimes, at least this is what I think about. I think you might think, oh, that person was kind. You know, they helped an old lady across the street, right? That's what Boy Scouts do, right? You might give a child a cup of water. You know, that's kind. And these are done with, you might, you know, give a child a giant, you know, a pie with inside whipped cream, a bowl of whipped cream. So would that be lavish or is that just bad nutrition? I'm watching you, Dean. They're all done with good intentions. We asked in teen group last weekend, I believe it was, if it is ever okay to lie. And there were various answers. You know, some cited the book, Corrie Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place, and we won't get into that. And we asked about, is it kind to withhold the truth? Is it kind to tell someone the truth even though it might initially cause them pain? I think we could say, yeah, we would agree with that. We would agree with that. I think it is kind of God to tell us we're destined for hell because it's the truth. It's not kind to tell someone, oh, you're fine. Everything will be okay when you know it won't be. In his kind intention, he told us, this is where you're going. It is kinder still to then say, and by the way, I paid for it, and then actually do it. That is lavish. That is lavish. That is definitely more than what I think of when I think of the word kind. Kindness, as the Bible described it, loving kindness, is much greater than just being kind. It is showing extreme favor in love. This is an example of a verse, just one of hundreds of verses that talk about God and his loving kindness towards us. Psalm 31:7, I will rejoice and be glad in your loving kindness. Because you have seen my affliction and you have known the troubles of my soul. It is not just, when we talk about God's kindness towards us, his affectionate kindness towards us, it's not just doing kind things, it is doing them because they are best long term. They are putting up with the pain too. It is weeping when we weep. It is holding our hand when it's hard. That is kindness. Smoothing it over is not kindness. When you have some wounds that are infected, right? If a wound gets infected, you don't say, well, that'll be okay. Let's just put a frosting or whipped cream on it. You know, that now it looks fine, right? We could cover it over, but what really needs to happen for that to be healed, we have to open the wound and get it out. We have to drain it, right? Which is painful. But once it is drained out, then we can seal it up, and then it's truly healed. That's kindness. That's the kindness that he did. That opening of that wound, he did upon himself. Not only did he clean out the wound, but he bore the pain of it. His kind intention is to be there every step of the way. And for what purpose? From Romans 2:4, this is the English Standard Version. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? It doesn't say, do you not know that God's kindness is just meant for you to have a nice life, have nice things, to be, you know, healthy and wealthy. It's to lead you to repentance. It leads you to the healing of the wound. That we would be his, that is his kindness, that his kindness is to lead us to the best thing of all, himself. That's his kindness. That we can and will be adopted into the inheritance that we did not deserve. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. That's the promise. That's the mystery. That's the loving kindness, the true kindness that he shows us. That's him. And so for what purpose does he do that? That he shows his in all wisdom and insight, that he reveals this mystery, that he then with loving kindness leads us into repentance. For what purpose? He purposed this in him. And the him he's talking about is Jesus Christ himself. With all wisdom and insight for all time comes together to reveal the mystery that we can and are one with him, Jesus Christ, because he is so kind and is all part of this great plan to glorify himself in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In his kindness, he reveals the law and our condemnation in it. In his kindness, he then shows us how he took care of it. And in his kindness, he reveals it was all part of the plan in Christ Jesus, his son, that we are all one with his people in Christ. This next, all that I just said, is summarized in this verse. That is not all the way to 39. There is therefore, starting with verse 1, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin of death. That is his kindness. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. All wisdom, all insight, all kindness, all mystery revealed, all in his perfect plan for his purpose of love to the ones he has always loved, which is all people. Shockingly, we went through this verse very quickly, and we looked at how God, in all his wisdom and all his insight, looked at this problem from every different angle and solved all of it. How he revealed that mystery to us, to the New Testament Christians, and to us, to the Gentiles. We were not his people, and now we are called his people. We were rejected, and now we are adopted. Through his kind intention, I was reading today in Psalm 48:9. I wanted to make sure I remembered it. Psalm 48:9, it says, we give great thought to his loving kindness. We give great thoughts to his loving kindness and suggest that we meditate on his loving kindness in the gates of his house or his tabernacle. We just think about that. That's David saying that. We is through his kindness, and the purpose is through his son, Jesus Christ, all into his son. That's what we have received. That is the great mystery. And if I could share this last verse, is 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish. He's not done with this great mystery. He's still lavishing. He's still giving us blessings. He's still all part of the plan, which is part of his kindness. Let's pray, and then we'll have the music team come up. Lord, we thank you so much that you give us all these things that you have in all wisdom and in insight given us, these things that you show us the mystery of how you accept those that were your enemies, that you, in your kindness, to your purpose of your son, Jesus Christ, adopted us. And by your grace, we thank you so much for doing that. In your name.